Today's scripture is taken from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the word of God.
Right, everyone. Good to see all of you here. Again, if you're visiting us today, welcome. Families and friends who are here, we're glad you're here with us this morning. A lot has taken place, so I'm going to make my sermon short. I know you'll be happy to hear that. I'm just going to kind of dive in to this passage. We've been going through the book of Genesis, looking at the life of Abraham, and in chapter 21, we finally come to a point where God gives Abraham and Sarah the promised son. It's been 25 years, if you're with us, from Genesis 12 to this point, and by this point, both Abraham and Sarah are old. And then the question that I want to raise this morning as we kind of think about this passage is, why does God wait 25 years before giving Isaac to Abraham and Sarah? I mean, 25 years is a long time. Now, I want to talk about this question by looking at three kind of laughter that we see in Sarah's life. So three laughters. One, laughter of brokenness. Number two, laughter of grace. Number three, laughter of mockery. So why does God wait 25 years before giving Sarah and Abraham this promised son? Number one, there's laughter of brokenness. I want to ask you to turn a few chapters back to chapter 18. And I want to read a short passage that talks about Sarah's laughter. And I think, you know, the Bible is so interesting, especially Hebrew language, because, again, there are these three different types of laughters that we see in Sarah's life. So chapter 18, let me go ahead and read from verse 5. It's a really short passage. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. So here in this passage, we have a laughter. Sarah laughs at this promise. God comes to Sarah and Abraham, and he says, year from today, year from now, you will bear a son. And you would think that Sarah would be overjoyed. Finally, the promised son is about to appear. But what we see here in this passage is a laughter, but it's not a laughter of celebration or joy. It's a laughter of unbelief. But she's laughing to herself. And look with me again what she says. She says, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? So God says, Sarah, I'm going to give you a child. But Sarah, instead of rejoicing, she says, I am worn out. My husband, Abraham, is old. Now I'm going to, you're going to do this? And so what we see here is this laughter of unbelief. It's a cynical laugh. Abraham, Sarah, they don't believe that this is going to happen. Now, if you kind of think about the 25 years of waiting, perhaps it's been way too long. And maybe they're afraid to hope. maybe they are afraid to actually believe that God will do this because, again, it's been 25 years. Maybe their faith, sure, they believe in God, but maybe they don't believe that God will, for some reason, will do this for them. So there's this laughter of unbelief. And what we see here in chapter 18 is Abraham and Sarah, they hit rock bottom. Sarah says, I'm worn out. I'm broken. Physically, she's broken. But spiritually, emotionally, she is broken person in chapter 18. I think they give up hope. And I think possibly this is the reason why in chapter 20, as we talked about last Sunday, that she or Abraham easily gives Sarah away to Abimelech. I mean, Sarah is old, but Abraham quickly lets her go to be married to this foreign king. And we kind of don't understand that, but maybe possibly it's because in this context, they are giving up hope. Maybe they are giving up faith. They are broken. Now, as difficult as this is for Sarah and Abraham, I want to say that brokenness is something that the Bible values. See, none of us like to be broken. You know, broken means, like what we read and see in Sarah, there is very little hope, very little faith. She looks at herself and she says, I am worn out. I'm a broken woman. My husband is old. They're in this low place. They're broken. But when you look at the Bible, when you look at people from God's perspective, brokenness has value. Give you a few examples. Moses, as a young man, he wanted to rescue the Israelites, and he murders an Egyptian, and he's chased out from the nation. He runs away, and he spends 40 years in the desert waiting for God to do something with his life. 40 years, he's a broken person. David, after the stunning victory over Goliath, you would think that he'll become a king right away. I mean, there's this momentum. You read 1 Samuel, and David rises up, and the narrative talks about, or there's this hope in David. But what happens? For more than 10 years, David becomes a fugitive. King Saul is after his life, and he is running away from town to town to town, hiding in caves for more than 10 years. I mean, what is that? It's brokenness. I mean, he's utterly broken. You have Hannah in 1 Samuel, mother of the prophet Samuel. You find her weeping and broken in first chapter of 1 Samuel. Why? Because she's been praying, hoping, longing for a child which she can't have. And there are laughter of mockery from the other wife. What is that? It's brokenness. I mean, but through these people, Moses, David, Hannah, and there are many others in Scripture, it's through their brokenness and through these people's low points that God does something amazing. King David writes in Psalm 51, he says this. He says, sacrifices of God, think about this, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God, oh God, you will not despise. David says, what God delights in, the thing that we can offer up to God, is a broken spirit. Broken heart, contrite heart, broken spirit are something that pleases God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit meaning someone who is broken, someone who is bankrupt. So why is this? Why does God wait sometimes? Why does God seem so far away and distant from us at times? At times it's because God, through our waiting, through the 25 years in Sarah and Abraham's life, He's breaking them. He's stripping them of their strength. He's emptying them. When I was in Philly, I met an older pastor named Bill Crispin. He in Philadelphia, he's a well-known pastor, well-respected. Now he is in his 70s. But He made a tremendous mark in the city. One, when he was, I think, in his 20s, he actually planted a church in South Philly, which is really a pretty rough part of the city. He went in, he lived with people, and he actually planted a city there. Then after that, he developed a theological training center for all the inner city pastors in Philly. Well-respected man. And I was glad, I was so fortunate to have the opportunity to get to know him. And when we would meet time to time, he would share something like this. He said, his personality is very high capacity. He achieved a lot of things in ministry. So I looked up to him greatly. And he would say something like this, though. He would say something like, I know that God wired me to do certain things and equipped me with certain gifts that I could do a lot. But he shared with me how 3 points in his life, he got really sick. And every time it would happen, it would break him. I mean, he would be driving, he would be going, he would be serving God. And then sickness hits physically, and it just drops him. He said it happened 3 times in his life. Every time he said he knew that God was telling him that it's not the ministry, it's not this or that, but it's really what he needs is God. I mean, God was stripping him down. He became a broken person. Even, before I left to come up down here, meeting with him, I know he recently had a surgery in his heart, and he was sharing with me, God just wants to break me. I think that's what God does. I think that's part of God's narrative in our lives. For those of you who are going through or who are waiting for something, longing for something, and I think most of us are waiting even today for something to happen in our life. Could it be possible that God is working in your life to break you? Because brokenness is something that's precious before God. And if you think about it, it took 25 years for God to really break down Sarah and Abraham. 25 years is a long time. It took God 40 years, Moses, in Moses' life. And I just thought that, gosh, I don't know how long it'll take God for God to break me down or cause broken sense of brokenness in my heart. But that's what God's after. A lot of times we look at our life externally, how we can grow and what kind of person we're becoming. I think oftentimes God looks at our heart and He's wanting to go deeper into our life. And that also takes time, whether it's 20 years or 25 years, 40 years. So number one, why does God wait 25 years before giving Sarah and Abraham Isaac? Because God wanted to break them. Okay, number two, what we see is we see laughter of grace. So if you have the Bible with you, the passage that we read, let me just read what Sarah here says. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. What's going on here? There's another laughter, right? Verse 6. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. And this here, this laughter is laughter of grace, laughter of joy. Because what she's saying is, what's impossible, it has occurred because of God. And so the reason why God takes Sarah and Abraham 25 years before giving Isaac to them, I think partly because God wanted them to break them, but also God, when God finally did give Isaac to them, there was a sense of, this is really from God. Can you imagine if God gave Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, maybe after a year or two? This kind of joy, this kind of wonder, this kind of thanksgiving would not be here. But what do we read here? Sarah says, it was God that gave me this laughter. It was God that gave me this laughter. The type of people that I enjoy talking to the most is the people who've been broken and who've come out of their brokenness having experienced God's grace. Because there's a sense of deep thanksgiving, deep joy. When I was pastoring down up in Philadelphia, there was a lady who had gone through a divorce. And it rocked her world, and it was a small church plant, so it really shook our church plant. We felt so bad for her. She served the church, loved God, but this happened, and she was hit hard. People were worried and praying for her and hoping that she will recover eventually. And she had to learn everything. She had to be a single mom. She went kind of back to school to get her degree, to find a job. I mean, it was just multiple hurdles that she had to overcome. And about 2-3 years ago, she came up to visit us in Philly, and we had her over. And, I just remember hearing this. She just kept pointing, and she was doing well. And I was so glad and thankful. But her testimony was basically, it was God. I mean, she talked about God, 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 God all the time. This was God's grace. God provided this. God did this in my life. This was God. It was all about God. And that's what we see here, friends. Sarah says, God gave me this laughter. And unless you go through this valley of shadow and come out on the other side, you don't have this kind of joy. You don't have this kind of wonder. You don't have this kind of thankfulness, because you don't recognize that it's really the grace of God that allows you to enjoy life and allows you to do the things that you want to do. But Sarah and Abraham did, because they waited 25 years. They longed and hoped and prayed for 25 years. And when he finally came, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they were able to say, this was from God. This was from God. So why does God wait 25 years? So that we go through this sort of brokenness, but then we can come out really knowing the grace of God in our life. Number three, there's a third laughter that we see here in this passage. It's a laughter of mockery. If you read carefully, verse 6 again, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. Now, that preposition over, it's very nebulous in the Hebrew. It could be translated in many different ways. And if you have the NIV, it says, I think, with. ESV says over. But what does it mean when someone is laughing over you? I've been reading a commentator, a Hebrew scholar named Robert Alter. He teaches at Berkeley. And he says that word there, the preposition, it's best translated at. And so what Sarah here is saying is, I'm laughing, I'm rejoicing because what God has done. Everyone who hears what took place will laugh, perhaps, at me. Now, I think that gets a little bit better, clearer, if you kind of read down. Let me read just verses 8, 9, and 10. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that day. Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, laughing. Now that laughing is a mockery laugh. So what's going on here is, not only Ishmael, but what she's saying, I think, is that people are seeing what took place. That she's 90 years old and she is nursing a child. That whole scene, it can be comical for people who do not know God and God's grace and God's power. So what Sarah here is saying is, people are laughing at me. See, Ishmael is laughing at Isaac. But what's happening here is, Sarah, do you think Sarah really cares? I don't think so. You know what happens when you go through the valleys, when you become completely broken of yourself? Come out recognizing the grace of God in your life, other people's laughter don't bother you as much. Because here, in this point, Sarah's engulfed by the grace of God. When people look at Sarah, she's 90 years old. What is she doing with a child? Do you think Sarah really cared? No. Why? Because she just experienced the grace of God, the power of God in her life. And friends, that's what happens. That's what happens when we become broken and truly experience the grace and the love and the power of God in our life. People might say some things, people verbally, or people might express things in our life, but it doesn't really shape us. You know, one of the reasons why God takes you through the brokenness, why God causes you to wait so long, is so that it's through the waiting period, through the brokenness, you truly find yourself in Christ. Your identity becomes secure in who He is. You're not defined by what other people say, what the world says success is. No, in brokenness and in grace, what happens is you recognize that you really are a child of the living God. And that becomes foundational to who you are. That's what happens. If you talk to anyone who went through any sort of brokenness, they come out and they say, it doesn't really matter what this person says or what that person says. It doesn't really matter even if I have a child. It doesn't really matter what happens because I know that I was broken. I know that I went deep down and I've come up recognizing, realizing the grace of God in my life. And that's what happens. That's why God takes us through this period of waiting. And God strips us down where we are left with nothing except for God. And so we say, God, it is really about You. It's Your grace. It's Your love. And I'm secure in that. That's okay. If I could only, as long as You are with me, that's life. That's it. That's what happens. In other words, we become shaped by the gospel, not shaped by other people's voices, not shaped by our own imagination of what success should be like. We're shaped by the grace of God that's displayed in the gospel and in His Son. So friends, 25 years is a long time. My guess is most of us, if not all of us, are waiting for something right now. Something that you're saying, if I could get that, if that comes true in my life, you know what, I will feel much better about myself, or I will feel like I'm succeeding. That little hook, little hinge that you're attaching to that thing, that's what you're waiting, all of us. The passage reminds us, no, God has something bigger than that. God wants to take you low. Sometimes that low is a long, deep low, so that He could bring you up, so that you can recognize the grace of God in your life, so that your true identity, that you will truly find yourself in who you are, who God made you to be, so that you can serve Him, love Him, be a blessing to others, like Abraham and Sarah. Okay? Let's pray. And as we close our time, I want to give us just a few minutes to, I know our time was shortened this morning, but hopefully the Word of God was spoken and that that you can reflect some. So let's take a minute to just pray for ourselves. And, you know, maybe some of us here are this morning in that state of brokenness. Maybe it is dark in your life. Maybe you are waiting for that thing to come true. You know, God has something much bigger, much better. God wants to give Himself to you. God wants you to realize His love, His grace, His presence. And sometimes the only way that we can really appreciate and recognize and know that is when we are stripped of other things in life. Friends, can we just pray that that we might even this morning kind of surrender our hearts to Him. Let's allow Him to be the center of our hearts and our life. Give us a minute to pray, and I'll pray for us as we close our time. Father, some of us feel like Sarah. We feel worn out, feel broken. But instead of pushing that away, or instead of being frustrated by our circumstances in life, Lord, this morning we want to embrace it, because we know that it's in these times that Your grace shines the brightest. And so this morning, Lord, we open our hearts to You in midst of brokenness, and we ask that You would reveal more of yourself to us. We pray that you would take hold of us this morning and form us and shape us according to your image. We surrender our hearts and our life to you once again. Take hold of it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will continue with our worship. We'll have a time of offering. This is a way for us to respond back to what God has done for us, His grace. So if you are a member or a regular attender, let's worship Him through giving. If you're visiting us for the first time, please don't feel obligated to give. Thank you.
Harvest time is over, and I still see no fruit.
Together. Heavenly Father, it's so hard for us to wait for your timing. Lord, but this morning we pray that you would help us to wait for you. And when the waiting becomes hard and difficult, and we sense the brokenness and we feel worn out, we pray that you would help us to see Jesus. Help us to know that in midst of waiting, that you are refining us. That it's a part of your great redemptive process to us, for us. So in midst of waiting, in midst of brokenness, Lord, we do not despair. But we hope, knowing that this is part of our narrative. This is part of our story. That you will one day completely redeem us. So we place our hope in you, in your grace, in your power, and ultimately the glory that you have for us. We surrender this morning our hearts and our life to you once again. We pray that you will lead us and you would guide us. And as we do so, we pray that we might display more of your grace to those around us who might be seeking and who might be longing. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks everyone. Maybe you can congratulate the families and the new members who became members today. But we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you.